I'd like to begin with a story. It's a bit long, so thanks for bearing with me. A hunter was pursuing a deer across the frozen peaks of the Himalayas when he came upon an enormous mountain split in two, allowing him to see what was on the other side. Beside the opening in the mountain, an old man with a long beard was beckoned to the startled hunter to come closer to see. The hunter obeyed and peered through the vertical crack that was just wide enough for one man to pass through. What he saw left him breathless. On the other side of the opening was a fertile garden, bathed in sunlight that seemed to go on forever. Children played happily amongst the trees with fruit and animals frolicking freely in a world filled with beauty, serenity, and abundance. "Do you like what you see?" the old man asked when he saw the hunter's amazement. "Of course I like it. This must be paradise," replied the hunter. "Indeed it is. You have found it. Why don't you come in? Here you can live happily ever after." Overflowing with joy, the hunter answered, "I will, but first I want to go find my brothers and my friends. I'll come back here with them soon." "As you wish, but remember the gates of Shambhala open only once in a lifetime," the old man warned him, frowning slightly. "It won't be long," said the hunter, before he ran off. Excited by what he'd seen, he retraced the path he'd taken, crossing rivers and valleys and hills until he reached his village, where he told his two brothers and three childhood friends of his discovery. The group sat at a brisk pace, guided by the hunters, and before the sun dipped below the horizon, they managed to reach the high mountain that gave access to Shambhala. But the mountain pass had closed, never to open again. The man who discovered that miraculous world would keep hunting for the rest of his life. There's a similar story told in Scripture, although in a much simpler form, in Luke chapter 9, verse 60, and no need to turn there, but Jesus said, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." Both of these stories have a common theme, a failure to recognize the importance of now, and a warning that the future we hope to come back to may no longer be there when we're ready. We often think we have time. We convince ourselves we'll return to the mountain to work on overcoming our nature then, but we have no guarantee that we will have a future to come back to. Today, let's put now into perspective. First, build a foundation by defining what is important. Several years ago, Stephen Covey in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People defined a methodology based upon four quadrants to classify how we manage our time. While time management isn't important for the topic today, one key that stood out to me was the concept of building a foundation on what was vital for long-term success, personal fulfillment, and effectiveness. Let's turn to Proverbs 24, and beginning in verse 3. "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Building foundation goals is crucial because it gives us direction, meaning, and structure to our lives. In Matthew 6:33, we're told, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." That should be our foundation. Secondly, let's choose actions based upon that foundation. Once the foundation is built, The next step is to choose actions that are based on that foundation. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. For those who find it are few. It is the wide gate that appeals to the world, a path that is not based on God's purpose or upon His law. Choosing the narrow way is a daily commitment, but one that gives us clarity in understanding His purpose. Finally, let's take care. Just as a hunter took care to ensure that he could find his way back, we need to take care that we haven't let the trivial distractions of the day overwhelm us. Beginning in Matthew 13 again, verse 22, breaking in the thought through the parable of the sower. As for what is sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. Jesus warns us that worldly concerns can choke spiritual growth and fruitfulness. An image of distraction as most destructive. Are worries, busyness, material pursuits crowding out your time with God, with my time with God? By regularly cultivating our relationship with God through prayer, Bible study, and meaningful fellowship, we begin to anchor ourselves in something deeper than the distractions of daily life. These spiritual habits don't remove life's pressures, but they reframe them, helping us to respond with wisdom instead of impulse, with purpose instead of delay. The hunter in the story was sincere. He wanted to return to share what he had found, but good intentions weren't enough. The opportunity came once, and he let it slip by, assuming he had time. In the same way, we might feel there's always tomorrow to prioritize our spiritual growth, to take the next step of growth, or to deepen our walk with God. Living in the now means more than reacting to what's urgent. It means choosing each day to align ourselves with what matters most. By building a strong foundation, making decisions rooted in that foundation, and remaining alert to distractions, we give ourselves the best chance to walk with clarity and conviction. Unlike the hunter who lost what he hoped to reclaim, we can choose a different path, one that begins today, not someday.